Hey, Sooner Nation, this is Wes Sims, former Oklahoma offensive tackle and three-time Big 12 champion, and you're listening to Locked On Sooners. Boomer!
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Sooners Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is John Williams. You can find me on Twitter at John9Williams. You could read my work covering the Dallas Cowboys over at InsideTheStar.com, and you can hear me weekly on the Cowboys Brawl podcast. And joining me today, as he does every day, is former Oklahoma Sooners offensive lineman, David Walker. You can follow David on Twitter at D_walk74. You can also hear him on the Iron Horse podcast. David, how's it going, sir?
Going well, man. Excited to be with you tonight, and excited to talk more Bedlam. We're here. We're just a couple days away now from primetime Saturday night under the lights in Norman, college game day, just excitement in the air. And also looking forward to later in the show having, you know, a friend of the podcast, Wes Sims, come back on with us, former teammate of mine, in-state guy from Weatherford, Oklahoma, that had a great career at Oklahoma for the Sooners, starting a lot of games at tackle, being a national champion, three Big 12 titles. And he's going to come on and talk with us about what his Bedlam memories are, his experience with the rivalry, and thoughts on the game. So, you know, we're looking forward to that in segment three. But, you know, excited to kind of get the ball rolling here and talking about things Lincoln shared in the press conference.
Yeah, so Lincoln Riley speaks to the media every week, and this week he had some thoughts that were interesting to me, and I thought we'd kind of touch on those and get David's reaction a little bit. One of the things that he talked about that I found really interesting was just the importance of having guys that have played in this game still on this team and playing significant roles. David, as a player and having played in this rivalry, how important was it to have those guys that had played in Bedlam, had experience there, and even had victories in Bedlam to kind of build off on as they went into another big rivalry game?
I think it always helps. I think you always would like to have that. But I think at the end of the day, experience is only as valuable as the kind of experience that it was, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have positive experiences, whether that's you had one season of a positive experience or two or three bad, experiences, all of those things factor in. So experience itself isn't necessarily the quality that you look for. It's more the quality of the experience, if that makes sense. Yeah. So it's really a quality over quantity type of thing to me. And at the end of the day, it's You hear certain coaches say, well, hey, you look at a team and you say, hey, man, they got everybody back. They got a lot of experience. And you can say, they were 2-10 last year. They got everybody back. So does that mean they're still bad, or does that mean they're going to be better? Or, I think when you look at the rivalry, you also have to kind of factor those things in. So you could say, Oklahoma State has a pretty veteran unit as well. A lot of guys have been through some battles. They've come up short, but they've competed and they've been close and made plays. And then you got an Oklahoma team that some of their key players haven't really made those plays in Bedlam. So I think on both sides of the coin, there you can look at either side depending on your perspective and say, we have experience in this game. But to me, the experience that's the most valuable is the side that's been getting the W's. So I think for Oklahoma, yes, those playmakers that have made plays in that game, like a Ronnie Perkins is back, Ramondre, you got Stogner, some of those guys who were a part of that last year, that were making plays in Bedlam, in Stillwater to get that win that was so crucial, that's the kind of experience that you want to pull from for sure.
And then talk about a little bit about the kind of recent history that Oklahoma has had. And John Hoover over at SI All Sooners, SI.com, Sooners, he kind of wrote a note in his article, he said, Lincoln Riley, he's 5-0 as both a head coach and an offensive coordinator against the Cowboys in this game. How important, it's good to know that you've got a lot of victories and you can kind of build off that and have a little bit of confidence, but can that history also, is there any potential for it to be a negative?
Yes, because if the players that are playing Saturday night are going to lean on the fact that 5 years ago, Baker Mayfield led Oklahoma to a win under Bob Stoops as Lincoln Riley being the offensive coordinator, or, the following year when the same dynamic, or if they were leaning on Kyler Murray or Jalen Hurts and those wins as some kind of a false sense of security, then absolutely it can be a negative. Because history in a rivalry is only really relevant for the last 2 to 3 years to me, because it's really only in those years that you have people that have a carryover that can actually impact this game coming up Saturday night. So anytime I see ESPN throw out stats like, let's say Notre Dame beating Clemson today, Notre Dame is whatever their record is all time in matchups against number one teams, or like, who cares? Because the team that's playing Saturday, like, this is their first shot. So you could say this, yes, Oklahoma is one of these games, but the team that's playing Saturday night, this is the first time that they have played a top 15 team at home on a Saturday night national TV with College Game Day there, right? So history is not really relevant to the moment that they're in Saturday night. So I think a lot of that is just really good talk for media purposes, but when it comes to the execution necessary and it actually affecting the outcome, I think that's really overblown.
Yeah, and thankfully we've got the excellence of execution, Lincoln Riley, as the head coach now for the Oklahoma Sooners, and they can have confidence in that because he is 5-0 and his game plans, he's a good game planner. He creates for his players, and he doesn't just kind of ram them into a system. He maximizes their abilities and schemes them open. Every week we see Marvin Mims running that little short drag that turns into a corner route, and he gets a touchdown every week. And teams can't seem to stop it. And so that's the thing that they can have confidence in, is that Lincoln Riley figures out a way to win Bedlam games, whether it's as a head coach or as an offensive coordinator. The last thing I want to touch on is Spencer Rattler is supposedly 100% ready to go. Do you think he'll have any kind of limitations heading into Saturday?
Oh, I think he might have a little bit of limitations, but I think once the game starts going on, I think adrenaline will kick in. I think he'll be fine. I don't think it'll be anything that should affect him too bad as far as the plays they need to make. And, you know, they may be prepared to lean on the run game a little bit more just in the event that they need to, in the event that he's not able to step into some of those throws. But, I do appreciate your Brett the Hitman Hart reference there on Lincoln Riley as the excellence of execution. I'm not going to let that go unnoticed. But, yeah, I think Spencer, you know, he's a gamer. And I think if there was any issue whatsoever that they thought he was not going to be ready to go for Saturday night, there's no chance he would have played that third quarter, 2 weeks ago. So I'm leaning on that. I'm trusting that, you know, they had a plan. They saw what they saw, and it wasn't going to be something that was going to be made worse, and that the bye week took care of itself. But I think the weapons around him, the game plan that will be set up, and, you know, Tanner Mordecai will be ready to go as well. I think Lincoln has a game plan in place that he can be successful with if they need to go that direction. But yeah, it's exciting to hear that Spencer's ready to go. And, it's going to be an opportunity for him on the national stage. The first one he's had in prime time. It's the biggest opportunity of his career. So hopefully he's 100% and ready to take care of that. But we're going to be right back here on Locked On Sooners talking more about the mentality in a rivalry game, talk about some of the stats from Pro Football Focus, and talk about the effect that COVID is having on preparation across the country and across the Big 12 right now. And then in segment 3, stick around for that, because we got Wes Sims coming up to talk about Bedlam. But first, let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? Well, College Football Saturdays offer the perfect opportunity to watch football and chill with the only beer that's made to chill, Coors Light. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Even though there are fewer teams playing on Saturdays, there are still plenty of games and other sports going on to give you the opportunity to relax and have a beer. So whether you're having a beer with friends, cooking some meat on the grill, winding down from working in the yard, or watching a full slate of college football games on Saturday, make sure you reach for the official beer of watching any sport or team just to have a beer. So when you want to reset from a long work day or to enjoy while taking in your favorite team, reach for the beer that's made to chill. You can now get Coors Light in its new look delivered straight to your door by going to get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
And now I want to take a moment to tell you about Built Go. Built Go is the energy boost you need to replace your energy drinks. Do you have a wall that you bump up against throughout your day? Well, the people that brought you the fastest growing, best tasting protein bar on the market, Built Bar, now have a way to give you the energy you need to break through your wall. Whether it's to finish out your workday, provide extra energy for your workout, or to have the energy needed for your back nine, Built Go's packets of protein plus vitamins helps get the nutrients into your system quickly. It's like drinking a monster energy drink with a third of the caffeine and a longer lasting result. Built Go comes in three amazing flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. It's the portable, longer-lasting energy supplement that improves your energy and promotes your health. Use the promo code LOCKED and save 30% off your first order by going to BuiltGo.com. That's BuiltGo.com. Let's go! Hey there, Sooners fans. And again, coming up in the third segment, we've got former Oklahoma Sooners offensive lineman Wes Sims joining us to give us his takes on Bedlam, how he lived through that, some of his experiences, some of his favorite memories, and what he thinks is going to happen in this game on Saturday, and how Oklahoma can overcome the Cowboys to continue to pave their way to the Big 12 championship game. But first, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the country right now, across the country. And COVID-19 is really on the rise. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time getting into how we need to live in a COVID-19 world. That's not what we're here for. But we do want to talk about how it is affecting what's happening on the field and what's happening in college football programs across the country. And for Oklahoma in particular, they've got 20 active cases. Lincoln Riley divulged that information in his press conference earlier this week. He didn't specify who, and he's not gonna. He might do later in the week, and who knows how that's all going to play out later in the week and what impact it might have on the game. We're not going to know that until Saturday. But David, how is COVID affecting just kind of football on a national landscape? And really, how does it affect the mentality of these players that are having to try and game plan, but there's so much uncertainty as to whether or not these games will play?
Yeah, John, I think that's a fascinating point. And it's a question that I don't think that fans have spent a lot of time thinking about. And that's not bad on the fans. I just think that, you know, when we're all looking at college football right now, we are anticipating the game being played on Saturday. And until being told otherwise, we assume that's going to take place, right? Well, around the country, we start to see, you know, the week goes on, you see this game's canceled, this game's postponed. And all of a sudden, you know, you start to get a list of that things are happening around the country. And while it might not affect your team, you don't think much more about it than that. But for the team that you're following, in this case, the Oklahoma Sooners, you got players that are preparing to play. And they're not oblivious to what's going on around the country, especially when it happens now within the Big 12. So let's just, you know, say you're a Sooner player today. You just came off the practice field and you get your timeline shows that Texas and Kansas is postponed. Well, that starts to hit pretty close to home. And now you've spent a week and a half preparing for Bedlam and you're a few days away and you're like, okay, this is still going to happen, right? I mean, game day is still coming, right? We're still in prime time Saturday night, right? And even if you are really good at compartmentalizing and pushing forward, any energy that you spend thinking about that, John, it takes away from your preparation. It just has to. Right. And so I think the unique thing about this particular Bedlam season is that there's never been a game in Bedlam where players are spending the week leading up to that having any thought whatsoever about whether or not the game is going to be played on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I think just that added element is one more thing on the plate of these young men to be able to say, I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to prepare as if this game is going to go off as planned. But at the same time, having just a little bit of an ounce of doubt in your mind as to whether or not that's actually going to take place. And then not just this week, but that's had to be the case for them week in and week out throughout this entire process. So it's definitely an underrated part of the preparation, but it is part of the preparation.
And as we get into Bedlam, and we're going to talk more about Bedlam in the Friday episode where we give you our game predictions, our keys to the game. Talk about, what is the mentality of a player going into a rivalry game? How does it change? And how hard is it to not put any extra emphasis on this game and to treat it like any other game?
I think it all depends on what your goals are. And if you're a team that maybe you don't have much left to play for as it relates to a conference standing, then this rivalry game, you put a lot more on it. But I think when you're in a situation like both of these teams are, that this is a game that just has to be won to win the Big 12 championship. It just has to. So there isn't any extra motivation really needed. I think the extra motivation will come in the form of, you know, before the game starts, maybe some chirping back and forth, and there'll be a little bit of extra intensity and maybe some trash talk amongst the in-state players who have played against each other and you know, seen each other at camps growing up. And you have that natural rivalry that's already there, that underlying rivalry. But I don't really feel like, you know, all the hoopla and all the tweets and all the talk, any trash talk, and I haven't seen much of it this year, outside of our boy Baker Mayfield stirring the pot a little bit with his little brother comment. But from current players, I haven't seen much of that. And I think that really, you know, this Oklahoma team, I think they got humbled a little bit, John. I really do. I think that those couple games that they took the losses in this year, that 1-2 start, the escape in the Cotton Bowl, and you know this progression that they're on, I think it humbled them to the point that they're not in the mindset of taking anything for granted or you know looking at this as anything more than, hey, we have a chance to get this right. So I don't think that the mindset necessarily is much different in a rivalry like this, because at the end of the day, at this point in the season, if this was week two, week three, week four, like the Texas game, and you played it early in the season, the rest of the year has to play out the way it plays out. It's more rivalry than conference standing at that point. But now there's enough body of work and enough evidence to show exactly what you're playing for Saturday night. You know that if you win this game, you control your destiny pretty much. So I think that's really where, you know, that to me is where the stakes are more than it's a in-state rivalry.
Yeah, that makes sense. You don't want to overemphasize any game in particular because it could take you out of your game planning and out of your mind, your typical mindset as you prepare for a game. And I think that goes into even what you talked about with COVID-19 as well. Anything that causes you to have any distraction or any that takes away from your typical week-long game planning or you know, practice and preparation you try to block all that out. And, you know, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, this Bedlam game is no different than any other game. And you got to treat it as such. I remember one time I tried to put a little extra like swagger into a game. We were playing against a team that we didn't really like in lacrosse. And I gave up two quick goals as the goalie early in the first few minutes of the game. And one of my fellow captains, he yells at me, he's like, John, get your together. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. And I just went back into my zone and we were fine. But yeah, you can't try and put too much more into a game than what you would normally put into it, even if it's a team that you don't like. So, hey, but let's dig into some stats, man. I'm a stats guy. I grew up collecting baseball cards. I bet you did too.
Yep.
You
know, just
love looking at the back of those baseball cards, reading box scores growing up. But let's look at some Pro Football Focus stats. I'm a big Pro Football Focus fan. I know some people are kind of down on them at times for their grading scales and how they grade things, but these guys grind the film. They look at these games. They put out the ratings, and it gives us a little bit of a framework to look at. So, David, would it surprise you to learn that Pro Football Focus has graded Oklahoma's offensive line as the best pass-blocking offensive line in the Power 5 conferences this year?
Yeah, that would surprise me to say that they were the best. I think they've been improving, but, you know, if I'm taking their whole body of work into account, you know, I would not have guessed them to be the best. I would have maybe said, if you said top 10, I could probably head nod to that and say, yeah, that sounds about right. But number one, that's interesting.
Yeah, right now they rank just above Oregon and Clemson, who are tied for second. And would it also surprise you to learn that Oklahoma is – well, they're not in the top five run blocking. That their pass rush defense is also the best in the country.
Their pass rush defense? That would surprise me less, actually, just based on what my eyes have seen the last few weeks and what my eyes saw in the Cotton Bowl in person as they got the six sacks there and, you know, many more hurries and tackles for loss, just that the pressure they were putting on for the last four games. That would surprise me less. But yeah, that's an intriguing stat. And I mean, I'm curious, you know, you mentioned in the offensive line stat, you know, Oregon's coming in at second place in that. And that makes me feel even better that they're listing teams in that have only played a game or two and Oklahoma's got six games to work with and they're grading out that high. So, you know, if context being key here, then you're really looking at, man, if some of these teams are factoring into these rankings without the body of work that Oklahoma has, then those numbers are even more impressive.
Well, to me, it's especially impressive because Oregon's got a guy, Penei Sewell, who is being projected to be a top five player in the 2021 NFL draft. And so if your offensive line is as productive as a pass-blocking offensive line, then to me, that's pretty impressive. Oklahoma's offense is currently graded as the second best offense in the country behind who would you guess is number one?
Number one, I would say – man, this is going to be low hanging fruit for me to guess the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Alabama is number one. Oklahoma is number two. Who do you think would be number three?
Oh man! Well, first of all, I want to know what I won for getting number one right. We can talk about that later.
A high five.
Okay, appreciate that. A virtual high five. Yes. Yeah. Tell him what he's won. All right. Number three, I would say Notre Dame.
No, it's Ohio State. Number three.
Oh.
So I took my high five back because you lost.
Okay. See, I would like to skew the – I'd like to put an asterisk by that because how many games Ohio State played?
Three.
Okay. So –
yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, On the grading, I don't have – they don't have a way for me to break it down and just look at particular
X amount of games.
Segments. Yeah.
Okay.
So – but let's look at some deep passing stats because I also find this stat to be really fascinating. So Pro Football Focus calls a deep pass anything that's 20 yards or more targeted downfield. So they don't take anything into account that's, you know, a 10-yard completion that goes for, you know, 10 or more yards after the catch after that. It's not about completions – that are 20 yards or more. It's attempts that are targeted 20 yards downfield. So who do you think's got the highest passer rating? And it's by NFL passer rating standards in the Big 12 in deep passing attempts.
Well, I'm going to tell you who it's not. It's not Spencer Sanders and it's not Sam Ellinger. But I am going to say I feel confident that it is a boy, Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, it's absolutely Spencer Rattler. He's also got the highest adjusted completion percentage, which I think is a really interesting stat in that it takes away drops. It does not penalize Spencer Rattler for drops like traditional completion percentage would. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't penalize him for throwaways either, like a traditional completion percentage might. So Spencer Rattler has an adjusted completion percentage of 65.9%. Now that would be a great like completion percentage for anybody. That'd be a really good completion percentage, but that's his adjusted. Because on deep passes that are 20 yards or more downfield, because unfortunately, Spencer Rattler leads the Big 12 in dropped passes of 20 yards or more downfield. So as impressive as he's been this season, his numbers could be even more impressive because his receivers, his targets have dropped five passes that have been downfield passes. Just kind of blowing my mind there. One thing I found interesting as I'm looking at these deep passing stats is the guy that Oklahoma will be facing on Saturday, Spencer Sanders, he has the third highest percentage of deep passing attempts. So I think that's going to be something that Oklahoma's going to have to watch out for as they go into this game. What are they going to have to do on Saturday to, you know, prevent Oklahoma State from creating any kind of big plays in the passing game?
Well, they're going to have to get after this young offensive line. You know, they've got these freshman guards. So making them have to set their pass protections in a way that you can exploit those interior guys who are green, right? So mm-hmm. that's Ronnie Perkins drawing a lot of attention on the edge so that Perrion Winfrey or Isaiah Thomas can do some kind of twists and stunts there up front to really complicate that for those interior linemen. I think that's going to be a big key to that because Spencer Sanders can only throw those deep balls downfield if he's got the time to do so. Yep. And he can also only do that if the running game is established in a sense that they can even get the play action to be able to do that as well. So I think all of it's on the defensive line to exploit the area that Oklahoma State has been the weakest in, which is that interior unit there in the offensive line, the injuries they've had to overcome. So I think that really is where the game will be won. I mean, no shocker. When we talk about this all the time, the game's won in the trenches, but to be able to eliminate those deep balls and not make those – you know, these really sensitive Big 12 referees who call everything and anything on defensive backs across right. the league. This isn't an right. Oklahoma problem. This is a Big 12 league problem. Right. We don't want to put the game in their hands. So the way you do that is to, you know, disrupt the pass game.
Yeah, and we're going to continue to get into more of our Bedlam discussion coming up in the next segment with Wes Sims, former Oklahoma Sooners offensive lineman. And we'll dig into our predictions and keys to the game on the Friday episode. We'll also bring you our hype movie of the week. Maybe this week I'll actually win one because on our Twitter polls, David has come out victorious each week. We've given you our hype movie of the week. This week I got it. I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna bring it this time.
Undefeated.
Hashtag undefeated. Play like a champion today. Stick around for that. Wes Sims coming up in the next segment.
And we are back here on Locked On Sooners, and joining us once again, friend of the podcast, former teammate of mine, we've got Wes Sims, who was a longtime starter at right tackle for the Oklahoma Sooners and left tackle, played a little bit of everywhere on both sides of the offensive line. But Wes was an in-state guy from Weatherford, Oklahoma. Ultimately, you come into the program there at OU. So Wes, talk to us about Bedlam from your perspective. What did you think about Bedlam growing up as an in-state guy?
Man, as an in-state guy, it always seemed like it was kind of one-sided. It like being real young, it was kind of the Boz phase, and then it was kind of the Barry Sanders phase, and then the 90s was just kind of, it was kind of bad on both sides. But as soon as we got in there in 2000, I think that's when that rivalry kind of really renewed itself, so to speak, because you started having ranked teams on both sides of the ball after that again. And that's when it really became fun. I mean, getting in there and playing against high school teammates and guys you played against in camps and friends and just other, great players that played in the league, like Kevin Williamson and guys like that. And then, just the typical mouthy little brother that somebody's got to go out and show them what's up, so that it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you mentioned the little brother comment. Baker Mayfield just dropped little brother at his press conference there in Cleveland today, and I'm sure that got the folks in Stillwater fired up. But, Baker's going to do what he does, and that's always brings a smile to the face of Sooner fans. But, growing up in Weatherford, like for you, I don't know how it was. I know for me in Fort Gibson, I didn't have Texas fans around me that were talking trash all year, but we always had Oklahoma State fans in school or in town. Did you have that growing up in
Oh,
Weatherford,
yeah.
a lot of chirpy OSU fans?
Oh, yeah. Growing up, I mean, it was 50-50 in high school out there in Weatherford. I mean, so all half of my best friends were OSU fans. So it was always fun to go back and forth with them. I mean, if somebody came in and said they were from Texas, we'd just be like, get out of here.
Right,
I
exactly.
mean, between the both of us. So, but. Yeah, I mean, it is 100% just OU and OSU and just bragging rights for the year with all your friends from a young age all the way up. And I mean, it still is with the same friends. So it's fun.
So what is your favorite Bedlam memory? And I know we you and I were in a state championship game at what was then Lewis Field in Stillwater, the Oklahoma State football stadium at the time. And if you say that your favorite memory of Bedlam
AstroTurf.
was whooping us in the state championship game, I'm gonna come through the podcast and we're gonna have to fight. But so,
Oh no, that was man, that turf was something else back then, wasn't
oh my gosh, it was concrete with a little bit of cover over it, a little bit of.
Yeah, I mean it was. I mean, and that turf was wore out. I remember putting my hand down on 3-point stance, and there was parts where it was just frayed out, just
Yes.
linen looking stuff holding it
Yeah, it
together,
was.
but.
There were strings coming out of it and all that. But we thought we were big time because we all went and bought some turf shoes. Because back then it was like, oh, we get to play on turf. And then we got there, it's like, this is turf. This looks like patched up concrete. But hey, we got our
Yeah,
butt
this
whooped
is
just the
wrong.
same. So yeah, y'all would have whooped us on grass too that night. So, but what was your
Oh
favorite
man, this
memory
was
there?
fun.
From Bedlam, you came into the program. Obviously, you guys won the national title in 2000. But even that year, it was a 12-7 win in Stillwater, and Derek Strait makes a great play in the corner of the end zone to save the game. They're throwing in the end zone to try to win it right there at the end, and
Yep,
pull
trying
the
to hit
upset.
wood. So I was
Yep.
gonna say I had two favorite memories. I mean, winning your senior year is always sweet, but I mean, in 2000 when D Strait went up and saved that pass over Rashawn Woods, that was big time because that was kind of the catapult for the Big 12 championship and national championship and everything else. But my personal favorite one was because in 01 and 02 we lost to them, and that was the only Big 12 team I lost to twice in the 5 years that I was there. So it was sweet revenge in 03 when we finally came back and laid it on them again. That was my favorite memory.
It's funny you say that because I actually kind of shared that earlier this week too. That was my favorite, that 0-3 game. And I've shared the angle of it that Les Miles at his press conference that week had said, we're going to find out which one's which. He said, we're playing a game between the best team in the nation and a darn good football team, and we're going to find out which one's which. And
Yep,
I just remember our student
that
section
was it.
chanting which one's which at the end of the game. And it was just a beautiful, petty, just wonderful scene for Sooner fans that day.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. I loved every second of that day, and it couldn't have been better. I mean, that was the cockiest they'd been coming in 2 years in a row and laying it on us and basically knocking us out of the race for a national championship both years. that they beat us. I mean, we would have been one loss teams going into Big 12 championship both years. So that was big that we lost to them and when we lost to them. But oh man, it was nice in 03 and 04 to get back and stay on top and go out with a good taste in our mouth. And I know that much.
Yeah, it's always nice to end your career there on a high note. And so turning our attention to this week's game, Wes, what do you think Oklahoma has to do to be able to come out on top in their matchup against the Cowboys?
Man, I honestly see this. I think it's going to be a war of attrition at the beginning of the game. I don't know, you know, what the COVID side of it's going to bring about, and hopefully we don't have anything and we do get a play. But man, I see both teams kind of coming out and starting off sloppy to begin with, because I mean they've been off a couple weeks. You guys are going to be fired up for Bedlam. I mean I think they're going to make some mistakes, and you know it's just going to be the old fashioned. You're going to have to get hit in the mouth and kind of slow down and get everything going. So hopefully, you know, we don't fall too far into that. But man, I think the biggest thing is going to be right there on the line up front. I mean they've got a great active defense, but I think our offensive line and Stevenson, if we get everybody healthy and out there to go pound on them, I think that's going to be the difference in the game. And then if our defensive line and defense overall can continue to progress, especially up front, those guys have been great the last three games. So if they continue to progress and we can shut down Chuba and just make it a one-way show for them, I think that'll be big for us.
And you touched on one thing that I want to ask you about, and how do you go into a game that's it's a rivalry game and kind of keep your emotion in check to make sure you're playing within the system, within yourself, and not trying to do too much once you get into the game, because the game brings a ton of emotion with it. What do you do as a player to kind of keep yourself just within the framework of the scheme on offense or defense and not trying to do too much?
Oh man, it was always tough. I mean, it was real tough, especially up there in Stillwater, because I mean, I'm not going to lie, they'd get me fired up every game when they played that Bon Jovi Wanted song. I was like, this is for both of us right here. So I'd be getting fired up and then, you know, make a couple of mistakes early. And then, you know, like I said, I was a guy that wanted to come out, and, you know, we had a lot of knockdowns we had to get with Wilson as our coach. So we came out headhunting, and sometimes I'd have to slow down and, you know, be like, hey, I can't sacrifice too much of my technique here, you know what I mean, to try to, you know, decapitate somebody. So you got to slow down and keep your wits about you. And you know, just trust in the film and all the walkthroughs and everything else and the tests that they put you through. I mean, you're ready mentally by the time you get there. You wouldn't be out there on the field. So it's just a matter of slowing down, letting everything play out, and going out and just knowing your role and doing your job. It's like they used to tell us every day. It's pretty simple. That's all they got to do.
So Wes, you just threw a little nugget in there that I'm going to have you flesh out for our listeners. So you mentioned Kevin Wilson and the knockdowns that we were supposed to get under Kevin Wilson in a game. Explain the consequences of not getting said knockdowns in a game.
Oh, it was absolutely horrible. We would lay down those damn boards that you drove block people through to keep a wide base, and we'd put them all the way across the width of the field. And you had to keep your hips low and your base wide and basically duck walk and drive block somebody, and they got in trouble if they weren't fighting back against you. So it couldn't be a cakewalk, you know. Or you both had to be a hell of an actor, but at that point you're too tired, so you didn't know what to do. I mean, it was horrible.
Yeah. Well, I've told the story on the pod before about the A&M game where even though we won by 77, we still had to do like 53 up downs because we didn't get our knockdown total as a unit. So that was a memorable one for me. But you know, speaking of offensive line play, one of the things I want to ask you about, you know, you were a tackle, and when you got a defensive end like Ronnie Perkins, let's just kind of focus in on this for a second from an Oklahoma State perspective. When you're a tackle and you're looking at a guy like that, obviously certain protections are going to have, you know, the guard, the center and the guard and the tackle to one side, maybe building a wall, and you got the guard and the tackle on the other side, you know, maybe going man to man, right? So they're going to build that wall towards a blitz, or they're gonna, maybe they're going to build that wall towards a guy like Ronnie Perkins. But what is the mentality behind stopping a guy like that and giving him extra attention? And what does that in turn do to the rest of the defensive line when you got guys like Isaiah Thomas, Perrion Winfrey, these guys who have elevated their play before Perkins even came back? How much opportunity does that create with all this focus on Perkins?
I mean, the possibilities are endless. I mean, as an offense, you're going to have you got to identify what your weaknesses are first. So, I mean, if their weaknesses are at tackle or are they inside, they got to decide what they're, you know, who they're going to help out. You know, if they're going to have to run more, keep a fullback or somebody else in the backfield, or if the back's going to block the mic and everybody takes the outside backers, or, you know, are you going to slide and then have the back chip or keep it tied in the backfield if your tackles are the weak spot? So, I mean, it just opens up endless possibilities. I mean, when you got Perkins playing the way he is and Isaiah Thomas playing the is and Perrion Winfrey, I mean, and John Michael Terry is starting to pick it up and play like he looks. I mean, he looks like the part. So, you know, and Deshaun White's running around everywhere. So, I mean, it's an exciting unit out there. And, I mean, you're going to have to pick your poison, but, I mean, you're going to have to make sure that those guys are ready to play a physical matchup, because, I mean, you know how Bedlam gets, man. I mean, it doesn't matter if they're both ranked in the top 10 or neither one of them's ranked. It's just going to be a nasty game.
And so how do you anticipate this game playing out? Give us a prediction for this week's Bedlam game.
Man, I said earlier in another podcast that this is going to be an ugly game, so it needs an ugly score. So I said 37-29. I think there's going to be a lot of seeing these defenses bend but not break, and I think that's going to decide who wins it. Is whoever's either not putting it in the end zone or having to settle for field goals.
Yeah, I think most people are anticipating this game being a pretty close matchup. And Wes, we want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on the show. Make sure you go and follow Wes on Twitter. It's
WesSam60.
That's right.
And the same on Instagram too.
Yeah, so go follow Wes on Twitter at WesSims60. Ask him all your offensive line questions, because, hey, we're at Offensive Line University right now. So who better to go ask than former offensive lineman for the Oklahoma Sooners, Wes Sims. Wes, thank you so much, man.
Love it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, hey, and that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Sooners. Make sure you come back for the Friday episode where we will give you our hype movie of the week. We'll give you our keys to the game and our predictions. For David Walker, I'm John Williams. We'll see you tomorrow. Boomer.
Sooner.